Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
There you go, from Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dream Coat. That puts us in mind of the biblical patriarch Joseph, and that's our subject for this last stretch of Issues Etc. this afternoon. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Actually, one of the most popular features of Issues Etc. lately has been this weekly peek at an upcoming Sunday school lesson. I know that that's maybe surprised some people, but one person who has never been surprised by it is Dr. Tom Baker. He is with us to talk about Joseph feeding Egypt. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing very good, and I love that saying, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor. You did a good job.
Let me just give the telephone number here, 1-877-623-MY-IE for your questions and comments, 1-877-623-6943. The in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can tweet us at issuesetc. So we're actually in the midst here, Tom, of several lessons on the Old Testament patriarch Joseph. Where do we pick up the story? Where's Joseph as we find him today?
Yes, the Growing in Christ series of Concordia Publishing House, which we're following, has actually the first four lessons of the 13 for the fall season about Joseph. We began with Joseph and his brothers just so hating him because of his coat of many colors, his dreams that they're bowing down to him, that they end up selling him to Ishmaelites who take him to Egypt. Then the second lesson dealt with Joseph's troubles with Potiphar's wife. She unjustly accused him of doing something wrong. Potiphar, whether he believed his wife or not, he threw Joseph into prison. And our third lesson now, we have Joseph in the prison, and he is about ready to decipher two dreams, one had by the baker and the other one by the cupbearer of Pharaoh. And so that's where this lesson starts.
Okay, now we're not going to talk too much about the affinities between your name, Baker, and what happens to this one guy in the story, but I should mention that Joseph at this point is kind of at the lowest ebb in the whole story, isn't he?
One might think so. It's kind of interesting that the prison that he's thrown into is the one that Potiphar is in charge of, because the same title for the warden is the name that Potiphar has. And so it doesn't take long before the warden begins to really like Joseph, and he puts all things in his charge in much the same way that Potiphar had put all things into Joseph's charge. And we're going to see it again when Pharaoh ends up putting into Joseph's charge. And so we're always trying to make a point for the Sunday school children that a lot of times, regardless of where you are at in your life, maybe things aren't happening in the way you want, God still has a plan for your life, and watch those people around you that God may be using as he's getting you ready to continue your vocation in whatever area he has planned for you.
Boy, you've got a lot of application here because God is using a lot of people in the life of Joseph.
Yes, and in fact, I would say that's one of the themes of this particular lesson, is that Joseph trusted promises despite every appearance. This is really important. Well, one of the things I like doing in the Sunday school lessons is to show where Jesus is. And we have so many parallels between Joseph, who trusted the promises, and Jesus, who trusted the promises from his father. Here we have God saving his people through Joseph, as God saved his people through Jesus. What I found interesting is that God's plan required a Gentile nation, namely Egypt. And in the case of Jesus, God's plan, even the crucifixion, required a Gentile nation, namely Rome. So the main point of this is, boy, at times we're just not happy with what God is permitting in our life. But God always is working all things out for those who trust him to their good. And though the evidence may be slight in seeing that, the promise is sure.
And this could even be at the hands of people who have no idea that the Lord is using them in these ways, may not acknowledge him as Lord at all.
Excellent point, because remember the high priests at the time of putting Jesus to the crucifixion, they never thought that God was using them in the way that God was using them. And that, you know, it always surprises me, Dr. Sherb, that Satan is so dumb. I mean, had he not read Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, all those verses about how Jesus is to die, why would he ever tempt anybody to put Jesus the cross? But it shows what Luther says in that wonderful hymn, he's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him.
Okay, so we've got Joseph in this confinement, and what happens to him?
What happens is that these two individuals, the cupbearer and the baker, and by the way, my name is not B-A-K-K-E-R either. At any rate, they have a dream, and they want Joseph, he says he might be able to interpret it. Well, unfortunately, the cupbearer's dream is a good one, where the interpretation is that he will be saved by Pharaoh. But on the other hand, it is not a good one for the baker, because he has a dream where he's carrying bread on his head and the birds are eating it. And the fact of the matter is the head of the cupbearer will be lifted up and restored to its proper vocation, but the head of the baker is going to be lifted up and hanged. And all that within 3 days. And Joseph knows this because he's very well aware that God gave him the interpretation, and he asks the cupbearer to please remember him and therefore try and get him out of prison, which, of course, the cupbearer forgets about right away. Another lesson for the children, that even when we do good deeds to others, don't expect a payback from them as though you are needing that good deed. Look what I did, God. The least you can do is help me out. No, sometimes things don't work out that way.
Well, Joseph's there thinking no good deed goes unpunished. I went ahead and I interpreted this guy's dream, and he was so happy about it, and I thought, okay, this is it. Here's the moment. The Lord is going to spring me from this place. The cupbearer is going to intercede. And what? It's 2 years before anything happens.
Yes. In fact, he even says very clearly to him that he was kind of innocent of being put into the pit by his brothers, etc. And so, by the way, this is kind of an interesting theme here, because though Joseph is a sinner, there's not any sin really revealed in these chapters, which makes him even closer to Jesus as a parallel understanding here.
So Joseph is languishing for another couple of years. We've seen that he has the gift from God to be able to interpret dreams. Now he's going to get to interpret a dream on a big stage.
Yes. Pharaoh has a dream, and he wants to understand that dream, but nobody is able to tell. And then finally, the cupbearer remembers about Joseph. He says, well, there is a man who might be able to tell you about your dream. Because the word used is magicians, but it simply means the people who were of the occult were unable to interpret the dream. And so he calls Joseph and tells him about these seven cows, plump and attractive. They came out of the Nile. Seven other cows that were poor, ugly, and thin ate them up. And the thin cows, of course, did not get any fatter. And that also happened with a similar dream, namely ears of corn were blighted, and thin ears of corn swallowed up the seven good ears, and he wants to know what's going to happen. And Joseph, of course, explains it, that we're going to have 7 years of good crops, but then 7 years of famine. And there's even historical record that the Upper Nile began not to have the kind of water it usually did, as well as there was some blight about agricultural food, etc. And so this was a historical fact that did occur at this time. And Pharaoh put Joseph second in command, because he was able to interpret the dream, put him second in command in order to make sure that the famine would not kill many people.
Yeah, but boy, right at the time when Joseph gives the interpretation, it's like the tension sort of rises here, because Joseph was right before in his conduct in Potiphar's house, but Potiphar didn't believe him. Joseph had been right when he interpreted the dreams of the two men that he was in prison with, but nothing happens, nothing really good, particularly for Joseph as a result. He's languishing there in prison for another couple of years. So the question is now, is Pharaoh going to listen? Is Pharaoh going to take the word of this guy at all? Got about 20 seconds before we take a break, Tom. Just talk about how the question really rises to a peak at that point.
I believe the most important verse, maybe in the whole lesson, is verse 16 of 41. Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." And therefore, by giving all the credit to God, Pharaoh was impressed.
Well, there you go. We're going to get out of here with Johnny Cash. We'll be right back.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, etc.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Joseph, Pharaoh's number two. Joseph, Egypt looks to you. Joseph.
Yeah, Egypt was looking to Joseph, especially now that he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And the question is, what's Pharaoh going to do? Well, we're going to find out with Dr. Tom Baker of KFUO's Law and Gospel. He's doing our Sunday school lesson preview for us this week, as usual, on a Monday afternoon on Issues, Etc. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilk, about 10 more minutes with Pastor Baker. So what happens here, Tom?
Well, what happens, Joseph rises to power. He becomes second in command, and he ends up under Pharaoh preparing the people. I believe the most important verse outside of the one I just said is the very last verse at the end of chapter 41, because this shows the purpose of why God allowed all this to happen. Moreover, because of the famine, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. Now, I guarantee you, no Egyptian was thinking that that famine was put in place so that Jacob and the brothers could come to Egypt, be enslaved for 400 years, return to the promised land, and there, of course, continue the line toward Jesus. This whole two chapters is all about God preparing the way for Jesus to come to earth. And sometimes Jesus is actually mentioned, and I believe that the interpretation that Joseph received about the dreams came from Jesus. But then there are other times when there's some real similarities. 2 weeks ago, we actually sent out a chart to those who wanted it about the similarities between Joseph and Egypt, namely the robe of many colors, the transfiguration, the rebuked by the father, rebuked by mothers and brothers. What I did this week is to actually expand on that under the states of Jesus. You know, theology is the art of making distinctions. And one of the distinctions we talk about is humiliation and his exaltation. I've got a whole bunch of places where Joseph and Jesus were humbled in the same way. His brothers rejected Joseph's message. His mother, brothers, and sisters rejected Jesus' message. Brothers conspired to kill Joseph. Religious leaders conspired to kill Jesus. Handed over to Egyptian Gentiles. Handed over to Roman soldiers. Stripped of his robe of many colors. Stripped of his clothing at the cross. Joseph sold for 20 silver shekels. Jesus for 30 silver shekels. Joseph became a slave to Potiphar. Jesus took on the form of a slave for us. The false accusation of Potiphar's wife, the false accusation of Jesus' accusers, and both Joseph appeared to be innocent, and Jesus was definitely innocent. But the new part that I brought in now is in the exaltation. If somebody wants to understand humiliation and exaltation, just look at the Apostles' Creed. From the conception down until he is buried is the humiliation, and then the descent into hell until coming back on Judgment Day is exaltation. But in the exaltation, Joseph is freed from prison. Jesus is freed from the grave. Joseph is dressed in clothes of royalty. Jesus wears the robe of righteousness. Joseph receives Pharaoh's signet ring. Jesus received authority at the right hand of the Father. Joseph rode in Pharaoh's second chariot with people bowing down to him. Philippians 2 makes clear that every knee will bow to Jesus. And through Joseph, God made sure that many were kept alive with temporal food. But through Jesus, many have been kept alive eternally through spiritual food. And just as an aside, if anyone wants these charts, it's at, just write me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. But I found it fascinating that both the humiliation of Joseph and the exaltation of Joseph is comparable to those of Jesus. The whole Bible is really about Jesus, and Jesus becomes the true fulfiller of Adam and Moses and Joseph and David and Solomon and so forth.
Well, I don't know if I quite heard this one in there, but Joseph makes a relatively ideal place in Goshen, eventually there in Egypt, for his brothers to live. And, of course, Jesus makes a heavenly home for his brothers. He goes to prepare a place for us.
Yeah, you know, if I had you sitting beside me, we could probably add 10 more onto this because of your insight. You know, this is really important. You keep reading the Bible because the purpose to read the Bible is to figure out how God thinks, because by nature, it's our old Adam that first reads the Bible, and we get all messed up, as we saw very clearly in your first hour today with the readings, how you can really misread what is being said by the Bible until you take a look at the context. And that's the same here. So I'm going to add that one. Thanks. And if you think of any more, give me a ring.
Let's think about the big picture, though, and I'm glad you mentioned the word context, because in all of this, what the Lord is doing is he is keeping his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for that matter, keeping his promise to Adam and Eve in the garden after the first sin. He is preparing and keeping safe that people through whom he's going to send the Messiah.
Yes, as you know, I talk a lot about law and gospel, and I was corrected not long ago by a good friend of mine, Randy Golter. I was talking about, well, the law, you know, tells the demands upon us, and the gospel applies. And he said he didn't like the word apply because it's not very gospel-oriented, that you actually are in gift. You get a gift with the gospel that takes care of the problem with the law. Now, men at this time, we remember we had a flood not long ago, are steeped in sin. So how does God take care of our problem? He does it, from our point of view, pretty slowly. But you can ask Abraham and Sarah after a 25-year pregnancy how slow God is at keeping a promise. But he finally does when the fullness of time comes. And if you trace back through the Old Testament, you will see time and time again where God is fulfilling the promises to Abraham, namely that through his son Isaac will come the Savior. And that means also through Joseph, through Jacob and that tribe, until you finally get to that marvelous chapter in Revelation 5 when Jesus ascends into heaven as a slain lamb, and he's referred to as from those tribes. Everything fits together in one coherent truth if you only allow the context of Scripture to be what you look at.
And yet it can always surprise us because, you know, if you were just going to kind of tell somebody this story in general and ask, okay, which of the 12 sons of Jacob, you think would get into this kind of trouble and be risen to exaltation? If they didn't know anything else, they might say Judah.
Yes.
But it's not.
No. No. Instead, see, God is like that. He chooses the less likely to be his. All right, here's God talking with his angels. Okay, I need an apostle to the Gentiles. And nobody among the angels would have come up with Saul, the persecutor of Christians. But God did. Also, let's have a woman become a virgin. And, oh, by the way, let's give the announcement not to the religious leaders of the day, but to unclean shepherds and certainly unclean Gentiles. In fact, I often say this. If you want to know how God thinks, think commonsensically, then reverse it, and you'll be close.
Well, as long as we're kind of spinning out these contrafactual scenarios, imagine Jesus ascending into heaven, and the angels are all there to welcome him and rejoice over his victory, and he says, okay, everything's fine now. The word's going to go out. Well, how's the word going to go out, Lord? Well, I left 12 guys.
Yes.
11 guys on that hillside down there. They're going to take care of it. And the angels are saying, was that Peter, one of them? Him? Were these the guys you were hanging around with? Is there another way? Is there a plan B? And he just says, no, there's no plan B. That's it.
We couldn't couldn't end this lesson better than that thought, Ken, because here's the point that Sunday school teachers need to make to the children, that God doesn't have Jesus appear visibly in the worship service or to tell others about or invite them to Vacation Bible School. He uses even children like you. And if we can plant into the minds of these children that whatever they say is not of their own words, like Joseph, this is what Jesus says that I am to say, and like Jesus himself, where in John 14, verse 24, he says, "The words that I speak are not my own, they are those of the Father." And every Sunday school child can now learn that they become the Joseph in their neighborhood that God can use to not only help people with physical food, but with spiritual life.
That's Dr. Tom Baker. Thanks a lot for being with us, Tom, as always, to do a Sunday school lesson and get us primed for this week. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You can find out more about his radio show, Law and Gospel, at our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand, and you can get the full scoop on Pastor Tom Baker's Law and Gospel. I was about to say Todd Wilkin because I've got this thing that says he will return tomorrow. He'll be back here on Issues Etc. to discuss with Pastor Jonathan Fisk this topic: can a Christian watch TV in today's culture? Can a Christian watch TV in today's culture? That'll be one topic with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Also, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be here to respond to an evangelical proof text. That's tomorrow with Todd back at the microphone here on Issues Etc. Pastor Baker said it very well. God doesn't have any other means by which he wants to bring his word, his gospel, to the world. He brings it through people like you and me, just like Joseph. How about that? I'm Ken Sherb. Thanks for your time this time. Till next time on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.